Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studio, man. We got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday, we like to call it. So I'm jumping into dipper number one. I'm calling it illegal numbers. After the distraction of the toilet paper, I'm now moving into the actual dippers. If y'all want to, please.
That took up a whole hour.
It didn't take the whole hour. It just took up the last 15 minutes of the hour. Illegal numbers. I got to thinking. I saw this tweet from DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. You know, it's an unofficial organization being founded with the approval of President Trump by Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk. And its sole purpose is to locate and recommend ways to cut out government waste. Well, so the DOGE account on X tweeted something out yesterday. And it's shocking when you look at it. And it's also one of the things that puts things in perspective. So let's talk about illegal numbers. I got to thinking when I read this tweet that I'm about to read to you. It's so important that we understand that there's anecdotal evidence of the impact of illegal immigration. There's criminal evidence, there's media presence, but then there's numbers. And the old saying is that numbers don't lie. But look at this. In 2023 alone, illegal immigration cost U.S. taxpayers $150.7 billion. $150.7 billion. Put that in context. All of World War I cost $334 billion. So it cost almost half of what it cost to run World War I. The Apollo space program, $257 billion. The Manhattan Project to create the first atom bomb, $30 billion. We spent five times that on illegal aliens just last year. Just last year, by the way. If you look back to the Biden administration's years in office here, I think you're probably looking at, I'm going to guess, but I'm going to bet you're well over $500 billion. The Panama Canal, of course, it's old dollar signs, but $15 billion to build the Panama Canal, which changed all the world shipping. Do you know that ships to this day are built to the specifications of the Panama Canal? The Hoover Dam, $1 billion. Illegal immigration alone has cost U.S. taxpayers $150.7 billion just last year. That's sick. That's messed up. That is absolutely unconscionable. That's a crime. We've been robbed, basically. So I got to thinking, okay, what other numbers are out there? If we're saying the numbers don't lie, what other numbers are out there? So did you see the story about the New York City hotel? The Roosevelt Hotel. This is a landmark hotel, by the way. This is one of those classic old hotels that has now fallen by the wayside to some degree. I did not know this until Vivek Ramaswamy tweeted it out. And oh, by the way, it is confirmed. This is not one of those, I heard it on the internet kind of things. So the Roosevelt Hotel, a prominent New York City landmark since 1924, named after former President Theodore Roosevelt, is actually owned by the Pakistani government. I kid you not. The Pakistani government.
Come again?
Yes, indeed. The Pakistani government. Did I mention you hang the toilet paper to the front? The Pakistani government. So Vivek Ramaswamy just eviscerated that one. He said a taxpayer-funded hotel for illegal immigrants is owned by the Pakistani government, which means that New York City taxpayers are effectively paying a foreign government to house illegals in our country. This is nuts. Because the entire 1,250 rooms, it's a huge hotel, the entire 1,250 rooms in the multi-story Roosevelt Hotel are under contract to the U.S. government just to house migrants now. It's a migrant housing center. And it's going to be returned to the government of Pakistan once a three-year lease term expires. So basically, the government of Pakistan is making $220 million to rent out the Roosevelt Hotel to house illegals in our country. Tell me why that makes sense. And the short answer is it doesn't. It doesn't. This is absolutely an unconscious. And by the way, so like the Indian Times in June of last year published a piece that said that, what is the name? Pakistani Ministry of Railways, Khawaja Saad Rafiq, announced that the agreement was expected to generate revenues of $220 million for the Pakistani government. It's theirs. We're paying them. And all the illegals, some of whom are probably from Pakistan, are shacking up at the Roosevelt. The numbers will just curl your hair. When you look at this stuff, you think, my God, the things we could have done. Now, granted, it's government. It's a kakistocracy. It is the least competent among us sometimes that seem to be running things. But the level of jackassery on this, by the way, that's your cue. I guess you can hit the button on that one. I just said it, jackassery. So it just came out. So now you got to hit the sound effect. Thank you very much. The level of jackassery on the idea that the Pakistani government is allowed to buy up a major landmark hotel and then, oh, by the way, let it degrade because it's not been renovated. It's so in need of work. And so the city of New York decides that it's a great idea to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, most of which is, by the way, federal aid coming in to help them, to sustain illegal immigrants who shouldn't be here in the first place. How about this? Pakistani government, rather than creating a tenement for illegals who don't care a thing about our country, how about you come over here and fix your freaking hotel and start treating it like the landmark that it is and let the Big Apple get back to being the Big Apple, the crossroads of the world. It's unbelievable.
Or how about we have it be an American-owned hotel?
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
God. Okay. More illegal numbers.
Especially when it's, what, named after a former president and it's owned by a Pakistani government. Just saying.
Yeah, at least they didn't name it after the Islamabad guy that we shot a few years ago. All right, so other numbers. What else do we have? Well, here's a good number. There's bad numbers and there's good numbers. I think it's important that every once in a while I stop and remind us we are seeing some improvement on the southern border even before Trump takes office. And in part, that's because of Texas. So I went to this one on LifeSet. Storyline, Dateline, 2 days ago. The incoming border czar, Tom Homan, is basically lauding Governor Greg Abbott of Texas for implementing measures to secure the southern border. Here's a number that I like. I love seeing this. Tom Homan said, illegal migration in Texas is down 86%. That's huge. Remember all the stuff we saw with Eagle Pass, Texas, with the complete just deluge of people that were coming into the different border zone areas. There were just the ports of entry were overrun. They were walking through. There are ranchers down there who are scared to take their trash out without being armed. We had, the one old rancher who shot somebody on his property who he saw carrying a rifle. And then he was being tried for murder. I mean, it's on and on and on. The things that Texas has been through, Texas has committed over $1 billion of its own revenue just to do the things that the federal government wouldn't do. But it's working, and it's proof that it works. Texas migration, illegal migration in Texas is down 86%, says Tom Homan. And that is a direct credit to Governor Greg Abbott and his folks with Operation Lone Star. So, yeah, there are some good numbers. And then there's Chicago. Mayor Brandon Johnson of Chicago, what qualifications did he even have to be a mayor of one of the greatest cities in the world? Just Chicago, what a crazy, cool, beautiful, big city. So much history there. And they just seem to be into generational curses of bad leadership. Mayor Brandon Johnson, if you're not sure who I'm talking about, you can go online and look at him. He's the guy with the spiky hair who worked for the teachers union before he was the mayor. Yay, job description. What'd you do? Well, I was an activist. And then I became mayor of Chicago, and I brought my activism with me. So residents of Chicago are blasting, this is Fox News, Dateline today. Residents of Chicago are blasting Mayor Brandon Johnson over the city spending more than $500 million. That city alone, $500 million. That one city. And oh, by the way, that's just recent money. Johnson and the Chicago's, okay, first of all, He's like a super lib. He's not a little bit. He's like a, if I was in Congress, I'd be in the squad kind of lib. I mean, he's like a Jamal Bowman and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez lib. He's that out there. He calls all of the illegals new arrivals. They're the new arrivals. That's a asinine term. Y'all can see JP's face right now. I need to keep a camera on you because you say everything with your face.
That's funny. I mean, I guess he's not wrong, but it's a very nice way of putting it. Our pleasantly new arrivals.
It's an asinine way of putting it. It's jackassery. But, you're going to hit the button again, aren't you? Just go ahead. Just when I say it, just go ahead and feel free. It just happens. The word comes out. So Mayor Johnson and Chicago's new arrivals mission, which has so far cost the city $574.5 million since its inception, comes as the mayor is trying to overcome a $1 billion budget. So here's some numbers for you. They've got a $1 billion budget shortfall, but he's also spent $500 million. By the way, a $1 billion shortfall? That's not even responsible. Like, how do you go to work in the morning and go, I am so happy with where we are. I love my job. And by the way, we need to find $1 billion tomorrow. So his solution is what? Raise taxes. Of course it is. Of course it is. And the people are having none of it. There was a crowd that showed up, and they're basically, one lady got up there and said, you're being known, you're going down in history as the worst mayor in America. She said, how about starting with cutting your salary? And but she said this, she goes, I got a great way we can fix the budget. Let's start by cutting off illegals who get free everything, free housing, free schooling, free food. Let's start with that. That'll save us a lot of money. Yeah, it'll save you $500 million. There's half your deficit right there. The city has spent $574.5 million for what? What is it they get? City of Chicago, in partnership with the state of Illinois and Cook County, says Mayor Brandon Johnson, has been helping 39,000 new arrivals who have come to our city with things like food, temporary emergency shelter, urgent medical care, education, vaccines, and case management and resettlement support. Resettlement support. What does that mean? Are you giving them a card, you know, a preloaded Visa card so you can go out there and spend money and find your way to the next city? I don't know. But the bottom line is this. Mayor Brandon Johnson's got $1 billion. There's a number for you. Illegal numbers. They've got a $1 billion deficit in Chicago, and they spent $500 million on illegals. And so his choice is, in his opinion, to raise taxes. Love it. All right, I got some more of these numbers. We're going to take a break right now. But, yeah, illegal numbers, man, they tell a tale, don't they? Think about the level of insolvency that some of these cities are facing because of illegal migration and bad decisions, because the good idea fairy flew through and sprinkled a little pixie dust, and now they want to spend more money on illegals. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. So the camera was on. I just realized I was, like, studying intently on the screen. You can say, but a lot of folks are watching online. We appreciate that. You can always follow us online as well as on our radio affiliates. But you can find us online at rightsidemedia.org, our website on the live video feed page. You can also watch it just directly from YouTube or Rumble or on two of our X accounts, rightside_media. Or you can go to @SinPhilWilliams, which is my personal account, @SinPhilWilliams. Do us a favor, by the way. When you do that, it means a lot to us if you will either hit subscribe or follow, whichever that particular platform has. Because as a business, as we grow this thing, we are committed right now to growing our digital footprint because that gives us the ability to grow, and they have these thresholds you have to meet. And we're pushing for 1,000 right now on YouTube, and we're almost at 700.
Inching closer. We're at 680 right now.
Oh, sweet. So we want to hit 700. I'd love to hit 700 this week easily, and then I'd love to see 1,000 by the end of the year. But all said and done, those numbers mean a lot to us. And just like you guys mean a lot to us, it gives us a chance to do more. Those platforms allow you to do more if you meet certain levels, if you will. So anyway, follow us, watch us, subscribe to us, all the stuff. So illegal numbers. Story from Breitbart, Dateline 2 days ago. Whew, Denver. Man, you know what's crazy? I love Denver.
Denver is one of the best cities I've ever been to. It's still to this day, as I travel to more cities across the U.S., Denver's still probably number one.
I love Denver. I love Colorado Springs. Oh, yeah. I love Colorado in general. You know, my time working with Young Life, on staff with Young Life, we have great properties out there. Young Life is headquartered in Springs. So, what happened to Colorado?
I feel like the best cities like Chicago and Denver are being run into the ground by their leadership.
They absolutely are.
Continually. But it's really sad to see.
Blue cities are, you know, they're blue. So
it's hard to be said.
Yeah, I know. It makes me blue to talk about them. Far left Democrat mayor of Denver, Mike Johnston. He's the one who most recently said he was willing to go to jail. Just golly bomb, I'm going to jail. If that's what it takes to push back against Trump's illegal immigrant deportation plans. Which, by the way, Charlie Kirk just tweeted out right before the show, and I need to track it down because I don't have the story, but Charlie Kirk tweeted out that a three-judge panel of the usually liberal Ninth Circuit out towards California way just ruled today, apparently, if he's correct. You might want to look this up, man. Just ruled that, yes, the U.S. government can deport citizens regardless of whether a state or locality considers themselves a sanctuary. In other words, we can come in there and get them, and we don't have to have your say-so. We don't care whether you call yourself a sanctuary. So you might want to look at Charlie Kirk's Twitter account. That's where I saw it. But here's the deal. Democrat mayor of Denver, Mike Johnson, has spent over $356 million taxpayer dollars on illegal immigrants. That's like the equivalent of almost $8,000 per citizen in the Mile High City. That's crazy. So the sum was revealed by a research organization that's dedicated to promoting, you know, good government, and this ain't it. They said that 8% of the city's 2025 budget now includes illegal immigration spending. 8% of their budget is now dedicated. My gosh. So Johnson has already slashed city services. Get this. They're already losing. The taxpayers are already losing what they should be getting in favor of giving things to illegals. Here's the numbers. You ready? First of all, well, let me tell you the things they cut. They cut services at recreation centers. They stopped things like planting spring flower beds, you know, stuff, the beautification of the city. They had to tap into their contingency funds to pay for the spiraling costs. $356 million has been spent. 45,000 illegals have come to Denver since December of 2022. 16,000 illegals are now enrolled in Denver City schools. The total cost of the schools alone is $228 million annually. The numbers are staggering. Illegal numbers. More on that. We'll finish it up when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama, y'all, Alabama. I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in, just for good measure. We were laughing off the air. I couldn't help it. There's a guy on CNN right now who is apparently the ACLU's LGBT HIV chief counsel or something, and it just... It's like, okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to move forward.
Gosh, I wonder why mainstream media is going under so bad.
put that on your business card. Yeah. What did you do? ACLU, LGBT, HIV. Okay.
I said, what do you do? Not the alphabet.
Yeah, thank you very much. Finishing up the numbers, and then I've got an audio clip that we're going to play you of Mayor Eric Adams, who just really bowed up a minute ago. So, New York City. Am I going to do this first? Or am I going to do this? I tell you what, you know, I might save it. No, I'll just do it. You know, what do you do? Call the audible, Phil. What do you want to do? I'm going with this one, fairus.org. Just one of the numbers that concerns me deeply. Tren de Aragua, the Venezuelan gang that is now becoming so prevalent in the United States, according to a leaked intelligence memorandum from the Department of Homeland Security last week, they are now confirmed in 16 different states. Tren de Aragua operating as a cohesive factor in the criminal activity of that state in 16 different states and Washington, D.C. They're impacting over half the country's population right now. The Biden administration has imported criminal conduct, literally imported criminal conduct. Look, when you import the third world, they don't become first world overnight. They don't come here to do all the good things when they're criminals back home. When they come here and you let them in and they are criminals, guess what? They come here as criminals. It's just that simple. And yet the good idea fairy flew through the room, sprinkled some pixie dust, and lo, they thought it'd be wonderful to let them just settle here. And being here will make them better people. Bull crap. It makes us a worse nation. How about that? All you did was water down the first world in favor of the third world. Does anybody know where the second world is? It's always the first and the third.
That's a good point. I have no idea.
I don't know what the second world even is. Okay, all I know is this. Here's some numbers for you. Illegal numbers. You ready? New York City, according to the New York Post this past weekend, 58,000 illegal migrants are in New York City right now who are already convicted felons or facing criminal charges. 58,000 known illegals who have convicted felonies, or are facing criminal charges are roaming New York City as we speak. By the way, and I had to ask JP to research this real quick for me while I was off the air, because it sounded so huge, I thought, that can't be right. It is right. Depending upon which study you look at, there are currently known to be 759,000 illegals in New York State alone. 759,000 illegals in New York State alone. And of those, 58,000 are known criminals let into the country, convicted of crimes or had criminal charges pending when they got here. And we know that because ICE is tracking them that way. Literally, we know it. And we let them in. We said, what? You got back home convicted of murder? Psh, New York City will take you. They'll give you free stuff. Hop the bus, man. Here you go. Here's your plane ticket. Come on in. 58,000 migrants with rap sheets. 1,053 of those are suspected or known gang members. So we just let in over 1,000 known gang members just in New York City. We have 58,000. These illegal numbers are killing me, man. They are killing me. I will say this. Mayor Eric Adams, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not. But I will tell you, I think he is beginning to see the light, at least in this case. He's sick of it. Keep in mind, he's a former New York City cop. Doesn't make him conservative, obviously. It's not like every episode of Blue Bloods is, you know, coming out of Mayor Eric Adams' office. But we got an audio clip of him. I'm going to go ahead and call for it clip two for the day here. Mayor Eric Adams just had a press conference, and he basically said, I don't care if I get canceled. He dares the left to cancel him. He's going to do what it takes to get illegals out of his city. Go ahead and play it. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Those who are here committing crimes, robberies, shooting at police officers, raping innocent people, have been a harm to our country. I want to sit down and hear the plan on how we're going to address them. Those are the people I am talking about, and I would love to sit down with the Board of Czar and hear his thoughts on how we're going to address those who are harming our citizens.
You're open to that.
Open to?
To hearing what their plan is to deport some of these folks, and you think the city, in some circumstances, should cooperate with ICE.
Let me. You know what's interesting? And I was talking to the team the other day. I want you to all go back and Google Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Google what they said about those who commit crimes in our city and what they said in our country. They said those who commit crimes need to get out right away. That was their position. So this is not a new position, you know, because in the state of era of cancel culture, no one is afraid to be honest about the truth. Well, cancel me because I'm going to protect the people of this city. And if you come into this country, in this city, and think you're going to harm innocent New Yorkers and innocent migrants and asylum seekers, this is not the mayor you want to be in the city under.
Wow. I mean, that's about as strong as it gets. I can only hope it's the case because, you know, he has not been a great help till recently. I think he's just seen that it's too obvious. And you know, and there's also the question of his own, you know, he's got legal trouble right now. There's some indication that perhaps he's struck an accord with President Trump and he realizes where his friends are. The Democrats are trying to throw him under the bus because he dared to speak out against illegal immigration in the city, the great city, New York City. By the way, I love New York City. It's been like one of those things. Charlene and I have made a couple of trips there and just we got great pictures of being there, eating at, you know, in Central Park and just having a great time, going to Broadway. That city needs to come back to us, and this is how.
I think what you mentioned of his legal issues may be contributing to him being as outspoken as he is, because I feel like this is the trend started after that happens. I think he's about fed up with, you know, his own party trying to get rid of him. So I think that's what's caused him to be less, more outspoken on issues like this.
He spoke up during campaign season, mm-hmm. and that irked him to no end.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they're raiding his mansion. You know what? If he's wrong, he's wrong. If he did something wrong, he needs to pay the piper. But I think you're right. I think that he has become more outspoken. But they're after him. They're targeting him because he was outspoken, but it's only made him more outspoken.
Yep. And it's going to backfire on them. I haven't looked into exactly the case with his legal issues, but if he survives that and is able to stay mayor, then they've made him more red-pilled, I'll say that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be a hoot if one day he was a Republican? But
that,
you know what?
That'd be great.
The question is, what kind of Republican would he be? Yeah. But We've got the Big Apple right now. You got the former police officer. He was a police captain, a former police captain, now the mayor of New York City, looking at the fact that he's got 58,000 illegal immigrants who are convicted felons in his city right now. And he's like, this has got to stop. And he has literally said, cancel me because I'm going to protect the people of the city. Good on you, mayor, and good luck to you. Let us know how we can help. All right, listen, that's a wrap. Illegal numbers, they're huge. I didn't even get to come up. I got a couple of more stories. I'm going to go ahead and call it right there because you get my point. Numbers don't lie. And when you're having those water cooler conversations with folks, when they're saying, I don't know, I mean, illegals, don't they need a better life too? Yeah, okay, how about this? Not like that. That's the thing. We, in this country, we pride ourselves upon being the country where the Statue of Liberty still stands and Ellis Island was a thing, and we built our nation on immigration. We're only here because of immigration. But we are not here because of open borders. That's two different things. Legal migration, where you embrace the culture and the very fabric of who and where you choose to be a part of the mainstream, as opposed to creating the subculture of problems and sneaking across the border. And then, oh, by the way, some liberal cities literally trashing their budgets to give you free stuff, which only incentivizes more people to show up illegally. It's about to all come to a crashing halt, and it needs to. It's an unsustainable solution. Keep in mind, and I, by the way, my newest podcast is coming out tomorrow, and I really hit on one of the things they say was the downfall of Rome, the fall of the great Roman Empire. One of the contributing factors was a loss of control of their borders coupled with a mass migration of people outside of the Roman Empire flooding in, and then they could no longer sustain themselves. They couldn't control their borders, and they could not control their citizenry, and it watered down who they were even as a culture. And that's just reality. Hey, a couple of quick text messages. I'll change the tune here for a moment. Ken from Harvest says, tuned in late. In regard to the toilet paper, we're back on that. He said, whether hanging from the front or the back, single ply will give you the ability to see the future. I see poop in your hand. That's awful. What? Ken, my gosh, man.
That's partly on us for not fully reading the text.
I know. I'm like finishing reading as I'm going, oh, jeez. I was about to say, oh, crap, but I didn't. Chris from Gadsden says, the reason why a cat can unroll the toilet paper if the paper is properly rolling to the front is that the cat can slap or paw at it. Chris, you're overthinking this. And unroll it just as a person does. A cat is not going to roll it backwards if the roll is improperly installed. By the way, Chris is a lawyer, and he just lawyered up that entire text. Chris, your arguments to the jury are well taken. Thank you. Badger from Athens says, if you're not a U.S. citizen, you should not be allowed to own any land here. Okay. He's talking about the Pakistani hotel. Yeah, I got it. I was trying to think, where did that come from? I got you.
And not only that, but the Chinese who are buying up all the farmland here as
That's an issue. At the very least, if you're a country adverse to us, you shouldn't be.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what else do they own? And by the way, there's no telling what they own through, you know, quiet LLCs and, you know,
yeah,
nondescript little property companies.
But not only that, they make these.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a problem too.
By the way, you can't see when he says these.
Yeah,
he's holding
my phone.
Up his
phone. Yeah, my phone. Yeah.
Brian from Decatur says it's not about the policies of the Blue City mayors. It's the people that voted to put them there and will probably put them there the next election as well. I don't disagree. But once they're there, they're still doing the thing. And look at that. Blue City Mayor Eric Adams has had enough. So how many of these blue mayors are going to recognize that running your city into the ground is really the way to go? I don't care who voted for them. The reality is they're still the one signing the check when the day comes. So I'm not going to put it all back on the voters, because the guy who's in charge still has a duty, a fiduciary obligation to the city that he's there to run. And voters got to change. But you know what? The guy in charge is still the guy in charge. Nani from Beverly Hills says Second World under a world population. Oh, and gives me a link. Okay, there is a Second World.
Yeah, so I'm seeing Afghanistan, Albania, Angola, Benin, Bulgaria.
News, man. I've been to Afghanistan. That's a freaking fourth world.
Yeah.
That is the fourth world. Thank you very much.
Don't know how they made it on the Second World list.
I don't know either. So basically what you're saying is Haiti is third world, but Afghanistan somehow made it to Second World? No. Just hard no. All right, last one. They're going to the break. Clint from Tony, Alabama says these sanctuary cities that are spending millions of dollars on their illegal residents apparently do it with impunity as far as taxpayers are concerned. They either have an awesome PR staff with amazing sales personnel, or as the old saying goes, you just can't fix stupid. I think it's probably a little bit of both, brother. A little bit of idiocracy going on there. All right, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Heading out with a little Foo Fighters. We will be right back.